Chapter 2. Catch That Rabbit. Mike Donovan and Greg Powell were now sent on another mission. They were on an asteroid and were having problems. The new robot, DV-5, and its six subsidiary robots were designed for asteroid mining. The team worked perfectly when Donovan watched them, but when he didn't watch them, they didn't work. They didn't bring back any metal from the mines, and they didn't come back on time. Donovan had to go there and bring them back. Donovan and Powell had been talking about the problem. They had to find out what was wrong. Donovan looked worried. "If we can't fix this problem, U.S. robots will lose $10 million, and we'll lose our jobs." Powell looked at the ceiling and pulled at his brown mustache. "You know, Mike, we've had difficult problems before. But this one is different. It's too complicated. DV-5 has six subsidiary robots. They are part of DV-5 like your fingers are part of you, and it gives them orders."
"I know," said Donovan thoughtfully.
There was silence.
"Well, let's talk to the robot," said Powell.
Donovan went out and came back with DV-5.
"Hi, Dave," said Powell. "How do you feel?"
"Fine," said the robot. "Do you mind if I sit down?"
He sat down on the strong chair that was designed for robots. He was not very big. He was 2 meters tall and weighed half a ton.
"Dave, you're a good robot," said Powell. "You're a sensible mining robot, and you control six subsidiary robots."
The robot nodded.
"That's great, but what is the problem, boss?"
"I'm going to tell you. Something's going wrong with your job. For example, today you didn't produce any metal."
"I know," Dave said. "I can't explain that, boss. My subsidiaries worked smoothly. I did too."
His photoelectric eyes glowed.
"I don't remember. The day ended, and I remember Mike, and I remember the empty cars."
Powell looked at Dave thoughtfully.
"What about taking a test, Dave? It would be the sensible thing to do."
The robot rose. "All right, boss." The test started simply and became more difficult. Robot DV-5 solved mathematical problems. Then he was given mechanical problems. And finally, he had to solve problems in logic and ethics. The test lasted 2 hours.
"How does it look, boss?" asked the robot.
"I've got to look at it, Dave," said Powell. "Go back to your job."
The robot left. Donovan looked at Powell. Powell pulled at his mustache.
"There's nothing wrong with his positronic brain."
"Listen, Greg," Donovan said. "Do you think the robot may be lying?"
"Robots can't lie."
"But Greg, he goes wrong only when we're not near. I feel uneasy about that. It's very strange."
"No, no, you've been reading too many adventure books," said Powell. "I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to put up a visiplate camera over my desk, right on the wall here. Then I'm going to watch the part of the mine that they work in.
That's all?"
"Mike, we have to discover the problem first, and then we can find a solution. You must catch the rabbit before you can cook rabbit stew."
"Well, we've got to catch that rabbit."
Donovan stared at his report with tired eyes.
"Greg, we're not going to finish the project on time," he said.
He pulled at his red hair.
"Tell me something. Why do we always have to deal with the new type robots?"
"Our job," said Powell, "is to test new robots under real conditions for U.S. robots. Because you and I are so good at it, we are given the most difficult jobs."
"I know I play an important part in the development of new robots. I like the idea of helping science. But I don't do it for that. I do it for the money."
Suddenly he shouted, "Greg!"
Powell jumped and they looked at the visiplate screen on the wall.
"Look at them," said Donovan breathlessly. "They've gone crazy."
"Get your suit on. We're going out there."
The robots were marching,
their metal bodies shone against the dark rocks of the airless asteroid. Dave was leading in front, and the others followed.
"They are mad, Greg," said Donovan. "That's a military march."
"Well, we don't know that. It may be an exercise," said Powell. "Let's go." The two men walked slowly through the dark corridors towards the robots. They noticed the robot lights in the distance. They tried to reach Dave by radio, but he did not answer.
"Let's climb up on that rock, Mike. They're coming this way, and I want to watch them."
Donovan jumped. Gravity was below Earth normal, but with a heavy suit, it was a big jump. Powell followed. The robots were marching towards them. When Dave was 5 meters away from them, he suddenly stopped. The subsidiary robots stopped too. Then, they quickly walked away into the distance. Dave watched them and then slowly sat down.
"Are you here, boss?"
he asked. Powell and Donovan jumped off the rock.
"Okay, Dave. What's the problem?"
The robot shook his head.
"I don't know. One moment I was working in Tunnel 17, and the next moment I noticed humans near me, and I found myself 500 meters away from the tunnel."
"Where are the subsidiaries now?"
asked Donovan.
"Back at Tunnel 17. How much time has been lost?"
"Not much," said Powell. "Mike, stay with him for the rest of the day, then come back. I've got an idea."
3 hours later, Donovan returned. He looked tired.
"Nothing goes wrong when you watch them," he said.
Powell pushed his chair back and put his feet on the desk.
"Now listen, Mike. Dave goes wrong only when humans are not there. And when he is wrong, the arrival of a human solves the problem."
"I told you, it is very strange."
"How is a robot different when humans are not present?"
"The answer is obvious. The robot needs to use more personal initiative."
Donovan sat up straight.
"Okay, but there are many parts in a robot's body that control personal initiative."
"You know more about circuits, Mike. What do you think?"
"It's not simple, Greg," said Donovan. "Personal initiative involves all the circuits. We must find what causes the problem, and then we can look at the circuits."
It was hopeless. Powell got up. "All right, I can see it's not going to work." They looked at each other hopelessly.
"Perhaps we could interview one of the subsidiaries," said Powell.
Powell and Donovan had never talked to a subsidiary robot. The men often called the subsidiaries fingers. These robots could talk, and their brains were quite developed. Donovan brought one of them. Powell looked at the robot.
"Look, I have some questions for you," he said.
"A few times recently, your boss stopped doing the task. Do you remember?"
"Yes, sir."
"What were you doing each time?"
The finger spoke mechanically.
"The first time we were at work on a difficult rock in Tunnel 17, Level B. The second time we were strengthening a roof in a tunnel. The third time we were preparing explosions. The fourth time was just after a fall of rocks."
"What happened at these times?"
"It is difficult to explain. An order was sent, but before we could receive it, a new order came to march or dance."
"Why?"
The finger shook his head.
"I don't know."
Powell sat back.
"All right, go back to your boss."
The finger left.
Powell turned to Donovan. "Okay, this wasn't very useful. There's only one thing we can do now. Dave gives an order just before everything goes crazy. We've got to find out what it is. We will go out there and watch them all the time. We will wait for something to go wrong."
"Well, if we go there, we can make them stop."
"How?" asked Powell.
"Well, think about it. When does DV5 go out wrong? What did the finger tell us? Dave goes wrong when they're working on a difficult rock, preparing an explosion, or
obviously during emergencies."
Powell was excited. Yes, the problem is about the personal initiative. During emergencies, when there are no humans present, the personal initiative is used more. So, this is what we will do. We'll create an emergency and watch what Dave does.
Mike, you're right. What emergency can we create?
How about rocks falling in a tunnel?
Powell and Donovan moved slowly on the rocky land.
All right, said Powell. We must not get too close to the robots, or they will sense us.
I know that, said Donovan. Let's go down through here.
They were in the dark tunnels now. The starlight was gone. Their flashlights lit the way. Suddenly, there was a slight vibration in the walls.
We're close.
They saw some movement at the end of the tunnel. They waited silently.
There's a side passage here. Let's turn right, said Donovan.
The vibration grew stronger as they moved.
No, this tunnel is blocked at the end, said Donovan. Let's go back.
No, wait, Powell said. I can see light ahead. Robot light. There's an opening at the end. The robots must be on the other side of this tunnel.
The tunnel was very narrow and steep. The two men climbed slowly and reached the end of the tunnel. It was a tiny hole, too small for a man to go through. It was difficult for the two men to look through it together. They looked out and saw the robots. The robots were 15 meters down the main tunnel. Their metal arms were working at the rocks.
Hurry, they will move away soon, said Donovan. There's a spot in the roof almost over them. If you can hit that place, half the roof will fall beside them.
Right, said Powell. Now keep your eye on the robots.
He lifted his detonator and threw it. It flashed. There was an explosion that threw Powell and Donovan on the ground. Powell looked around in panic.
Where are they?
There was no sign of the robots.
Are they under the rocks?
Asked Donovan.
Let's get down there.
They were on their hands and feet, crawling backward down the tunnel.
Mike! What's wrong now?
Mike, we're trapped here. Our own roof fell.
Powell turned on his flashlight. There was no room to move in the tunnel. They tried to move the rocks, but couldn't.
We failed, Mike, said Powell. It was a good idea, but it went wrong.
Well, we have a more important problem, Dave, said Donovan. We're trapped, and if we don't get out of here, we're going to die. How much oxygen do we have? Not more than 6 hours.
Well, we could get Dave to dig us out in that time, but our emergency must have caused him to go crazy.
Donovan moved up to the opening of the tunnel and pushed his head out.
I can see them, Greg. They're doing some kind of dance. They're coming towards us.
Dave can sense our presence at 6 meters. Then he'll go back to normal. That will save us, said Powell.
How near are they? 5 meters. We'll be out of here in 15 minutes. Oh, no.
What's going on? Shouted Powell.
They turned, Greg. They're leaving.
Powell shook Donovan.
Listen, I've got an idea. Let me get in there. I'm going to do a little shooting.
Powell moved up and looked through the hole. He aimed his gun and fired.
One of the subsidiaries was down.
Powell called into his radio.
Dave!
They waited for a few seconds and finally heard an answer.
Boss, where are you? My third subsidiary has been destroyed.
Never mind, said Powell. We're trapped down here. Can you see our flashlight?
Yes, we'll be right there.
Powell sat back and relaxed. Done.
All right, Greg, said Donovan softly. You win. I'm stupid. Tell me how you solved the problem.
Easy. We missed the obvious fact. We knew it was a problem with the personal initiative. What type of order needs most initiative?
What type of order is given almost always only in an emergency?
I don't know. Tell me.
It's the six-way order. Under normal conditions, several fingers can do normal tasks, and they don't need to be controlled.
But in an emergency, all six subsidiaries must be controlled immediately and at the same time. Dave can't communicate with six robots at the same time. His circuits are overloaded, so he goes crazy. When humans arrive, the initiative decreases, so he goes back to normal.
I see. And why did you shoot the subsidiary?
Well, I destroyed one of the robots, so there was now only five fingers for Dave to communicate with. The initiative decreased, so he was back to normal. They heard the robot's voice again.
Here I am. Can you survive for half an hour until we get you out?
Easy, said Powell. Then to Donovan he continued. And now our job is simple. We'll check all of Dave's circuits and find out which ones communicate only five orders. We'll fix them.
I think there's one circuit that would be the problem, said Donovan cheerfully. That's not very difficult to do.
Susan Calvin talked about Powell and Donovan without smiling, but her voice was warm when she spoke of robots. She was going to tell me about other robots, but I stopped her. I wanted her to tell me a story about herself. Doesn't anything ever happen on Earth? I asked. She looked at me with a little frown.
No, we don't have many problems with robots here on Earth.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, our readers will enjoy the stories about your field engineers, but can't we get a story about you? Have you ever had a robot go wrong? Dr. Calvin turned red.
Well, yes, robots have gone wrong. It's a long time since I thought about it. It was almost 40 years ago. Yes, 2021. And I was only 38. Oh dear, I don't want to talk about it.
I waited for her to change her mind. Then she looked at me.
Why not? She said. It cannot hurt me now. Even the memory can't. I was foolish once, young man. Would you believe that?
No, I said.
I was. But Herbie was a mind-reading robot. The only robot of its kind, before or since. A mistake.